of Johnson, but it hits the backside and it rolls into second base. But by that time, Gervich already got there. So the offering comes in for a ball 1-0. A 1-0 count. Runners at first and third. The 1-0. And Broussard pulls it away into the dugout. One ball, one strike, one down. Rafters up to 17 hits, the most they've had all season. In the third offering, Broussard lines it up the middle and gets into center field. A base hit for Garrett Broussard. Rivera scores. Gervich gets the second and a one-run RBI single from Garrett Broussard. 16-5. Rats putting on a show. So Harrison Didowick, he'll step in. Bottom of the eighth inning. Traverse City two away. Didowick 3-for-5 as Johnson fires and clips the left edge in four strike. On a fastball once again, 0-1. A huge performance for Wisconsin Rapids. They needed it. Losers are 5 of their past 6. But today, 18 hits. The 0-1, and Didowick swings and flies his ball into left center, running after it, and making the grab is Prout. Reached out to his right, over his shoulder, and made a tough acrobatic catch for two down. So two down, one more away for Traverse City. Chris Conniff, 1-for-4 with an RBI. Kind of had that RBI single last time up. So Easton Johnson will set. He'll fire as kind of tips it away backside. 0-1. Rafters have had at least a run in their past 4 innings. They've also had at least a run in their 5 of their past 6. And the 0-1 kind of misses outside, 0-2. So one more strike away, and we'll head to the top of the ninth. It looks like nobody warming up in the bullpen right now, so it seems like Burnett will finish his day. 0-2 count. Johnson will set. He'll fire up and outside on a ball. Fastball once again. It pushes outside of the zone. 1-2 count. Looking in is Johnson. He's in front. He'll set and fire. The 1-2 lifted in the air, pulling away towards the center fielder, Summerhill, who makes the easy catch for the third out. So we head to the top of the ninth. Rafters, another run. They lead 16-5. And they get 3 more outs to put this game away. We'll step away here on WFHR.
You have been listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
Air conditioner not running? Make a call to the bullpen for the experts at Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. We'll work quickly and efficiently to get your AC back up and running. As a Bryant Factory authorized dealer, our team will do whatever it takes to repair the problem quickly and efficiently. We'll get your system out of its slump and back in the game.
Need a repair? Schedule it now at comfortair.biz. That's comfortair.biz.
Let's face it, mornings are tough. We could all use a little pick-me-up. The answer? El Cafe in Port Edwards. Not only will the atmosphere and friendly staff at El Cafe give you a boost, but their breakfast will knock your socks off. Enjoy one of their great daily breakfast specials, sure to satisfy, or really kick it up with their fish tacos and spicy salsa. Life's too short to have another boring breakfast. Get up, get going, and get to El Cafe in beautiful Port Edwards right next to the police station. Start your day with a kick at El Cafe.
Let's get back to the ballpark and more Wisconsin Rapids Raptors baseball on WFHR.
Top of the ninth inning, Burnett back on the mound. A 16-5 lead for Wisconsin Rapids. A bounce back, feel good type of win because they needed so as the 1-0. Swing and a ball lifted in the air. Didewick comes out and makes the grab in left field for one down. So Parker Brocious, 1-for-3 with his strikeout. But a much needed bounce back type of win for Wisconsin Rapids. They needed this, and hopefully this can carry some momentum into tomorrow night. As Burnett fires and foul back, 0-1. So no balls, one strike, and one down. 18 hits, and the most they've had this season. The 0-1 sweeps low for a ball. 1-1. Burnett will come set once again. He'll step in the 1-1 swing and a miss. 1-2. Parker Brocious, prior to today, batting a .346. He's up to 45 hits on the season. Burnett fires the 1-2. Popped away right side out of play. As Gervich was coming under it, but unfortunately for him, that rolled away to the bouncy houses, which seems like over there. So 1-2 count. Burnett with no strikeouts. Very uncharacteristic of him. You always see him getting at least 1K. The 1-2 swing and a miss, and there it is. So Burnett's first strikeout of the afternoon. Raptors one away to close out this game here at Witterfield. As perhaps the final batter of the night, Evan Orzech, who's 1-for-4 with a run. Two down. And the set and serve from Burnett on the check swing paints the left edge for a strike. So two strikes away from closing this out. No balls, a strike, two down. The 0-1 up and high for a ball. 1-1. So perhaps Orzech could be sent off here, and that ball bounces low for a 2-1 count. Stepping in is Burnett. He'll look. And the 2-1 lifted in the air into left field, charging after it. This falls quickly. Diddowick dives out and almost makes the grab in the left field. That was close. That would have been an unbelievable way to cap off a great afternoon for this Raptors side. Diddowick stands at 6'4", has a lot of length. Almost got to that ball. It was dropping quickly. Two count, one more strike away, and this will put it all to bed. Burnett on Orzech, he'll look in, the ball in his glove, the kick high, the wind, the serve. A 2-2 drifted outside on the right field line, so staying alive here in this count is Orzech.
Come on.
So Burnett will look in once again. Two balls, two strikes, and two outs. The final strike of the afternoon. The 2-2 comes in, a swing and a ground ball over to Conniff. Fields it up and has the easy throw to first to cap off what has been an impressive performance for the Raptors. They take down Traverse City 16-5. They outhit the Pitts Bitters 18-6 and split the series. So Wisconsin Rapids gets the second win of the second half. They go to 2-4 in this second half of the season. Overall, they're 22-19, but a much-needed victory. They fell last night 5-2 to Traverse City. They lost five of their past six, but today was a big day. A feel-good type of victory for Wisconsin Rapids, and a much-needed win. They needed this today, and all the players making a tunnel down there at the mound for everybody to go through, and what a victory. This team, the morale was low, and just the whole feel down there was just, everybody was a bit down. But today was a day where they found themselves once again to get back to winning ways in a dominant performance, having 16 runs, the most all season, and same with hits, 18 as well. So a big win, but the Raptors conclude a three-game homestand before they head to Madison on Tuesday. But they will take on the Mallards back here at Wooder Field. The first pitch is at 6:05. We come live here at WFHR at 5:50. So for everybody at Wisconsin Rapids Raptors, for the players, coaches, and staff, for everybody at the studio at WFHR, my name is Joe Fear, saying so long from Witherfield. Have a good rest of your day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue, and welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It's Friday, July 7th, National Dive Bar Day and World Chocolate Day. Coming up this hour, more media cheerleading for a recession. We talked to Mark Jacob about his new column for CourierNewsroom.com, Facts or Feelings, Inside the Media's Misleading Economic Coverage. There's so much good out there, good data, more fresh data just yesterday proving it, and yet outlets can't seem to stop bending over backwards to both sides the story about a healthy economy. So we'll talk to Mark Jacob about that. We're scheduled to talk to Dan Schumacher as well from up in Ashland. You might have missed our last hour, where we talked about the imaginary case before the U.S. Supreme Court that led to LGBTQ discrimination being made legal. You can catch that show and all of our past shows anytime by just subscribing as a podcast, Apple, Spotify, over at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. We'd love to have you be one of our subscribers, downloaders. We'd also like to have you be one of our callers. The studio line is 844-967-2789. You can email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Would be nice to have you along. We've been giving updates on the various vetoes that Governor Tony Evers made to the Republicans' state budget bill before the governor then signed it, and it is now taking effect for the next 2 years here in Wisconsin. And we've been focusing on some of the big ones about how he adjusted the Republicans' plan for a big old tax giveaway to the very wealthy, and how he extended a basic level of, you know, school funding for the next 400 years. But there were some minor things in there as well, minor in comparison. For example, Evers reduced what the Republicans had put into the budget of a $10 million grant for the Republican National Convention, which will be in Milwaukee next year. It was a $10 million grant to the Greater Milwaukee Convention and Visitors Bureau, or Visit Milwaukee. And using the partial veto, he reduced that $10 million to $1 million. And then the remaining $9 million will just go back into the Department of Tourism for general marketing purposes. So this was all going to help the convention. It was basically going to be a state subsidy to the Republican Party that talks about hating state subsidies. And in his veto message, Evers said he opposed Republicans providing, quote, this level of funding when they did not fund other priorities like child care and higher education. And if that sounds petty, yes, you could argue that it is. But that's the kind of thing that a governor can do, is to say, well, if you look at the whole scope of this, I'm not going to veto your whole budget. I'm not going to veto all of these things that are wrong with your priorities. But I'm going to send a message that you don't get this pet project and you don't get this earmark if this is the way that you're going to spend the taxpayers' dollars. And it's been proven over and over again that Republicans in this legislature don't have a problem wasting taxpayer dollars on things like private attorneys for lawsuits, or, hey, let's not forget the big one. That, of course, would be Foxconn. And Bruce Murphy over at Urban Milwaukee has a new story that talks about the ways that Foxconn is still wasting money this month, marking the sixth anniversary of the famous announcement by then Governor Scott Walker of a deal with Foxconn, a company out of Taiwan, that then President Donald Trump hailed as the eighth wonder of the world. Foxconn promised to invest $10 billion in a massive factory to manufacture high-resolution LCD screens. Murphy goes on to say that Foxconn had promised to employ 13,000 people, in return for which it would receive a $3 billion subsidy from you and me and every other taxpayer in the state. Murphy notes that 6 years later, Foxconn is still not manufacturing anything at the huge campus in Mount Pleasant and Racine County, but he does note that the total cost to state taxpayers to build this massive campus, the roads, utilities, everything else, so far the total is at least $683 million, with more costs likely to come. Now, thankfully for Wisconsin taxpayers, Governor Evers unseated Scott Walker in 2018 and immediately drastically downsized the state taxpayer commitment to be more in line with reality. They also showed the right way to do economic development is not through, one massive commitment to a shady company, but instead to spread it around. For example, the Main Street Bounce Back grants, $10,000 to 10,000 small businesses around the state. But as Murphy notes, nothing has ever come as well of the Foxconn technology centers. They were promised for Green Bay and for downtown Eau Claire. Everybody was excited about one of the buildings there. And then the company was going to build a North American headquarters in Milwaukee. Again, not there. They were announced more than 5 years ago, still dormant. And Murphy notes in Urban Milwaukee, you might think these satellite centers would be part of the company's attempt at carving out a new direction, maybe a brighter future. But the three cities are not even mentioned on the Foxconn Wisconsin website nowadays. Let's take a break here. We will talk about the Brewers wrapping up their four-game series with the Cubs this week before heading into six very important games with the Cincinnati Reds. Three this weekend in Milwaukee and then three more on the road after the upcoming All-Star break. We'll have that, the updated weatherology forecast, more headlines, and later Mark Jacob. That's coming up still ahead this Friday. You're up north.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Please join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30 where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday afternoon at 3:30 right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
O'Reilly. Stay cool this summer with AC Pro and O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get a $15 O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card after mail-in rebate with the purchase of select AC Pro ready-to-use refrigerant products that include a hose and gauge. Beat the heat before you hit the road with AC Pro at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Bark in the Park at historic Witterfield, home of the Rafters. Come for bingo, prizes, animal festival dress-up contests, groomer wars, and much more. Bring a donation and receive a free gift for you from Kohler Generators. Bark in the Park, July 12th. See you and your dog at the Rafters game, 6:35 start. Made possible by Current Technologies, Piggly Wiggly, Junkyard Bar and Grill, Simplicity Credit Union, Morrison Tree Service, LLC, and OMG Butchering, LLC.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go.
We just can't.
I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Lows around 61 tonight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the southwest 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly sunny tomorrow. Highs level off around 90. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow night. Lows around 60. Partly cloudy. Chance for scattered storms Tuesday. Chance for scattered rain showers on Wednesday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. You can't
hide your lying eyes. I think it's something that we need to keep in mind for the economy. Are you going to believe me or your lying eyes or some twist on it, which is what right-wing media seems to be doing with reporting on the economy? Well, how, mainstream economy too. And that's what Mark Jacob is here to talk about, as we do on Fridays, about how the national media is getting it right or getting it wrong. And today we're going to start by focusing on economic coverage. Mark, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Hope you had a good holiday week here. And on this short week, you have a new column for Courier Newsroom called Facts or Feelings, Inside the Media's Misleading Economic Coverage. And I know we've talked a bit about this in the past, but you've done this full column on it, that I guess one of the ways I've described it is that it takes work to go through economic data. It doesn't take as much work to go through polling numbers and say how people feel, but that's not the service of journalism, is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think there's wrong with doing polls, but when you make the polls more important than the economic statistics, you know, you're really making a mistake. And that's it. That's the whole facts, you know, facts versus feelings argument is that, you know, that I'm making here is that if you don't, economic facts are difficult to figure out, and, you know, trends work in different ways. And, you know, everyone's confounded by the economy right now. You know, they've been predicting a recession for, you know, a year and a half or two, and it hasn't happened. And I, frankly, you know, in a normal world, you'd give Biden credit for that. But Republicans just keep on talking about, you know, it's going to be a recession. It's going to be a recession. The economy's terrible. The economy's terrible. And if you keep on telling people the economy's terrible, some people are going to think the economy's terrible, even though we have, you know, a really low jobless rate. Almost everyone who wants a job has one. And that's just fantastic. And the inflation has been too high. That's kind of a natural result of pumping a bunch of money into the system to help people during the pandemic when a lot of people were out of work. And but this has been managed pretty well now, where inflation is coming down. There's something Pat called the misery index, which is the where you combine the jobless rate and the inflation rate. And the lower the misery index is, the better off the economy is for people. And the misery index now is at a very normal, like what the kind of the average it's been for the, you know, for recent decades. In fact, it's lower now than it was when Obama got reelected, when George W. Bush got reelected. I mean, it's in a really good place. And so to make this look like some Biden economic disaster, you've got to totally go against the facts. You have to make it totally, well, I feel like the economy's bad, instead of, like, you know, I can point to numbers that say the economy's bad, because the economy is not bad.
It's much like the figures on crime. You know, crime is down in many ways in many places, and several Marquette polls have people saying, I feel safe in my daily life. But if you ask them how bad is crime overall, and they say, oh, it's terrible. It's terrible because, I mean, everything that right-wing media, you know, blows up and magnifies feeds into that narrative. But again, if you're looking at just the data, private sector jobs, you know, the latest report had them jumping by almost 500,000 when analysts were expecting maybe 200,000 jobs, and annual pay is, you know, rising at a 6.5% rate. And there's, you know, no shortage of other indicators that are out there. I think, Mark, that part of it is to continue our conversation from last week. that the president has decided to embrace the moniker of Bidenomics.
Right.
And that Republicans and right-wing media have decided, all right, fine, then we're going to try to make Bidenomics a pejorative rather than something that you want to brag about. So I think, lacking any other big policy changes, and of course we're not going to see that in Congress, I think that for the next, you know, 12, 16 months here, it's going to be a fight about, is Bidenomics good or is Bidenomics bad?
Right, right. And it's going to be the real problem that my column in Courier Newsroom was about, was that it seems like a lot of the media, especially cable news, is emphasizing the polls more than the facts, you know. And so you tell people it's bad, they're going to like say it's bad. It's this feedback loop in which people think that. Also, another tricky thing here is that some of the things that are most obvious to people have been the worst as far as inflation, like gas prices. And you don't hear Republicans talking about price gouging in the oil industry. And the fact is, and this is a fact, not a feeling, the profits of major oil companies doubled last year, doubled. And this was clearly price gouging by the oil companies, but you didn't hear that from the Republicans. They were blaming it on Biden instead of the true culprit. And so, yeah, so everything's going to get twisted. And it would really be nice if the news media would just kind of talk about what's actually happening instead of how people are feeling about it when they're fed a bunch of disinformation.
Well, we understand why politicians would behave this way.
Right.
But when newsrooms do, I think the question that I led off the show with to ask you about is, what's the motivation there? Is it a craving of conflict? Is it a reporting laziness? Or is it such an accommodation, both sides in economic data? Because if you talk only about the fact that it's positive, you risk looking one-sided, right, even though you're reporting the facts.
Well, it's all of those things, Pat. And I think the interesting thing is when you see the Washington Post and New York Times talk about the economy, it's never positive news. It's always, well, inflation is down, but that might be bad for, you know, it's always, there's always this kind of, but that might be bad for kind of follow on any good economic news. And I think that these big news outlets think that makes them look smarter and savvier and more sophisticated. Plus, you have the problem of, you got that poll there, and that poll is just a raw number, and it's right there, and you know, you can just quote it. While economic data, there's a lot of different economic data, and sometimes it's going in opposite directions. And truth is, people really are scratching their heads about what's going on here. There have been a lot of predictions that have been just flat wrong, predicting a recession, for example. And people are still writing headlines saying, well, the coming recession. There's not, who says there's a coming recession? They've been saying that for years now, and it hasn't happened.
It's as if the national media wants to be able to say, well, we just don't take what we're spoon-fed, meaning right, the latest economic data, and yet they take these negative numbers or these negative, you know, talking points,
right,
essentially as if they're being spoon-fed to both sides what the data is. And so I hope that folks get out of this, you know, that take a close look at the outlet that's reporting the news and, you know, really pay attention to the data of the actual numbers. Again, facts versus feelings. And you'll find it right there at couriernewsroom.com. I want to ask about a couple of other stories in the news. But before I do, I was just remembering that when Don Rue gave the liner just now and said to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And I'm like, wait, I'm going to have to change that liner. It's going to have to say, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Threads, or maybe just skip Twitter entirely and just say Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. Have you been part of the, I guess it's now well over 10 million people who quickly looked at Twitter and said, see ya, and headed over to Threads? Or what are you seeing and thinking about that?
Well, I'm not on Threads yet, but okay, I may be. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I'm on Instagram, and that's associated with Threads, so it's right, probably wouldn't be hard. I got to tell you, I mean, this is an amazing business story that somebody would spend $44 billion to destroy a company. And I don't know. I mean, Elon Musk, everyone says he's a genius. Is this genius behavior? It seems this just a self-destructive, crazy behavior, in my opinion. I'm on Twitter now. I'm not on Threads yet. I may be. Who knows? And the reason I haven't fled Twitter is I don't want to like cede the battlefield to the liars and crazy people. So I'm, you know, fighting back. But there comes a time when, you know, when Elon Musk, you know, supports, you know, lets Nazis, you know, be Nazis on Twitter. And do you really want to be part of that? And so, you know, I don't know how it's going to go, but I got to tell you, I tweeted the other day. I said, Elon Musk has done everything to make Twitter fail except rename it to MySpace. I mean, that it's just that all these moves have made no sense business wise. And why, you know, why he did it? I don't know. But there are some conspiracy theories that he wants to eliminate independent voices. And the truth of it, Pat, is that big outlets like Twitter do give regular people a chance to break through with good messaging and get through, you know, they don't have to go through CBS, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. They don't have to do that. They can post something, and if it's good and interesting, it can get an audience. And there are a lot of people in power who don't like that.
You're absolutely right. There are people that I never would have seen otherwise. And I see their takes on Twitter over the years, and I'm just, you know, kind of blown away, just impressed enough that I follow them. And at some point, some people, you know, it turns out that was a shot in the dark. They don't have much more to add to the conversation. And then fine, you stop following them. But it is the democratization of social media,
right?
The positive aspect of that. It can't be denied. But the impression you definitely got from Threads the first couple of days, as I put it, was less meanness, fewer Nazis. And all right, you go back to Twitter now, and again, I don't know if the algorithm has been tweaked or what it is, but I mean, we always talk about, like, you know, sports Twitter or entertainment Twitter or black Twitter. Right now, my Twitter feed looks like Republican Twitter. It says, you know, fewer people are tweeting, and what I am seeing are things that, I mean, it's reading more like a Fox News version. And I get your point about not seeding the ground, but it definitely feels, after just a couple of days, it feels like there's a real mass migration going on here, the likes of which didn't happen with Post or Mastodon. I think people found it too clunky or whatnot, and Threads is just like, hey, we're Twitter, just with fewer Nazis, and people are going, all right.
And you know what? Something that's hilarious is that Elon Musk is threatening to sue because all the employees that Twitter fired are working on Threads now. So, you know, I fired those people, but you can't hire them. It's every move is just more laughable and idiotic.
It really, I said in the early days of the Trump administration, so, and I said this earnestly, is he a plant from Russia just to make us look bad at how to do so many things wrong? And you almost have to ask the same thing about Elon Musk. It's like, is he like the embodiment of the old troll farms that they had back in 2016? I don't know. I've got time for one more, and it's far from the most important, but I did mention just before you came on that I was impressed with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for doing a very long story about Ron Johnson. And nowhere in the story about LIV Golf and the PGA did we see the words Hunter Biden, which is weird for anything involving Ron Johnson.
Right.
But you noted that, and you really called out this editor in chief at The Federalist, who is taking that White House cocaine story and immediately starting a new rumor or spreading a new rumor. And you nailed it about, I mean, it's just low life scum.
Yeah, the real creepy thing about it is the way that Molly Hemingway wrote it. She said, surprising number of my friends are hypothesizing that the cocaine is not Hunter's or Joe's, but Jill's. I'm intrigued by how strongly some of my friends think this. I just don't see it.
I just don't see it.
Give me a break. So why did you post it?
Right.
You know, the funny thing was I just got a comment from, you know, kind of a hero of mine, Michael McKean, who was on since Spinal Tap, the actor.
Yes.
He commented on my post, you know, because I pretty much called her low life, no class scum, which I think is accurate. Michael McKean said I was being too nice. You know?
Yes.
I mean, how low can you go? I mean, just make up something for no reason. You know it's not true. It's just disinformation. I mean, the thing about it, Pat, is that the scariest thing about what's going on now is that the Republican Party and the right wing have decided that lying is a tactic. Mm-hmm. That if you're not lying, you're not trying. And that is. I've put it before is that saying that that's a sacrament of the Republican Party. That you have to lie. If you don't lie, it looks like you're not really trying very hard.
You're not lying. You're not trying. I like that. Mark Jacob, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. Have a wonderful weekend.
Talk to you later.
All right. When we come back, we will have Dan Schumacher along from Ashland, and we'll talk a little sports as we head into the weekend. Again, you can read up on what we're doing. You can catch up with what I'm doing on Twitter by searching for Pat Quitelow, or on Facebook, Pat Quitelow Up North. And again, all of our social media for Up North News, just look for Up North News WI. We'll be back here up north.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosures.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget their made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
The Pittsville Area Community Theater is going big in their return to the stage this summer with the most famous murder mystery of all time, Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express. The show boasts intrigue, deception, romance, and Broadway-caliber comedy to spice up the summer. Performances will be taking place at the Pittsville Auditorium, 5459 Elementary Avenue in Pittsville, on Friday and Saturday, July 14th and 15th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, July 16th at 2:30 p.m. Tickets can be purchased in advance online at eventbrite.com for $12 and same day at the door for $15.
Sandwiches are the original fast food. What could be easier than spreading a bit of mustard on Country Hearth's cracked wheat bread, then topping with smoked ham and cheddar, or maybe a peanut butter and strawberry jam on Kids' Choice Whole Grain White? So, on your way to the lake or park this summer, skip the drive-thru and pack a cooler with your favorite sandwiches instead. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
2.7 WMDX.
What do we got here, Dan Schumacher? U.S. Blues?
U.S. Blues, man. Jerry singing the blues to the U.S. government.
Okay.
Perfect for your show.
Yeah, it is. There's days it really feels like. Dan Schumacher's here. Now the director of athletics for, what is it, Northland College?
Come on, Pat. Yeah, Northland College, yes.
Okay.
In beautiful Ashland, Wisconsin, where yesterday Lake Superior was like glass. It was amazing to see, because usually I've never really seen it like glass. Mm-hmm. There's always waves or something, you know, wind or. But it was gorgeous yesterday up in Ashland, 80 degrees, you know, 75 degrees and sunny. It was great.
And you had a golf outing.
We did. We had our university golf outing that benefits the athletic department. So we had what, 28 foursomes. So a good turnout. A lot of great prizes were given out. In fact, our mutual friend, Tim Crawford's brother, Dan Crawford, who's the retired police chief from Ashland, he won a big screen TV yesterday in the raffle. So,
it was so if you know where he lives, you know who's throwing the Super Bowl party
right,
this year.
Exactly.
So, well,
exactly.
Good for you. Hey, I want to come to the Cubs Brewers series in just a minute here, but yeah. Now, I'm actually going to give away a little radio show secret. Christina Laurie is on with me every Tuesday morning. We talk about some of the feature stories that she's working on for Up North News. And I want to tell you that we already recorded next Tuesdays because of the way our schedules work. And in it, we got to talking about it'll be the All-Star break. We get to talking about, you know, food at stadiums and, you know, what stadiums are the most highly rated. And I could have waited till next Friday, but I'm going to go ahead and because Christine and I are going to talk about, you know, what we like in stadiums and what we don't. And she's a White Sox fan, being from the Chicago suburbs herself. And there is no love whatsoever for whatever used to be called Comiskey Park or what. It's got some god-awful bank or
guarantee rate stadium or something.
Whereas she knows,
before that, it was Cellular One. And then it was Comiskey, so it's weird.
So have you been there? I think she called it the last bad ballpark that was built, you know, during that phase before ballparks really got good with their construction.
You know,
I have been in two. It's called Wrigley Field. They talk all about how Wrigley and Fenway are at the top of this list of ballpark attractions. Well, for no other reason that they both date back to 1912. If they didn't have, you know, a major league sports team in there,
yeah,
you'd call it a dump, you know.
Yeah, it. I mean, it doesn't have the amenities that you know. I was just talking with somebody yesterday because we were watching. It was a day game, the Cubs Brewers, right. Mm-hmm. And in the clubhouse there, and I talked about how nice a ballpark Milwaukee plays in. And I mean, it's gorgeous, and the food is excellent. The service, the concourses are wide. The bathrooms are modern. You know, you go to Wrigley, you know, you're still basically going to the bathroom and you know, for a man
in a trench,
yeah, like a trench, like a horse trench or horse thing, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, it just has an aside. The thing about Wrigley. And Fenway,
here comes the romance. Here we go. It's
just around the park. It isn't so much the park, mm-hmm. And it's actually like a Grateful Dead concert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the music is great. Yeah. You want to be inside, but I'll tell you what. There's a bigger party going outside the concert.
Yes,
you know, and so that's what makes it special. You know, going to restaurants and bars and the whole nightlife of mm-hmm. Lincoln Park, Wrigleyville area. So that's the reason for the nostalgia. Whereas, I'm not kidding you. You go to Comiskey Park, you drive in and you drive out.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean you're right there on the freeway, and there ain't nothing around there whatsoever. It kind of reminded me of the Metrodome. The Metrodome in Minneapolis never lived up to its potential, not just because of the marshmallow shape and everything else, but the neighborhood around it never. There was like the one bar there, Hubert's, and that was it. You know, whereas now Target Field has some nice little, you know, small bars and other things, and you're right there. In other stadiums, I've been to a few. I've been to Wrigley. I've been to Fenway. There's plenty more that I'd like to go to just to see if they too have. It's not just what's inside the stadium, but what's outside of it as well. So apart from the ones we've mentioned already, do you have a favorite? It doesn't have to be baseball. It could be football or college. Well, especially college because you're trying to build a program there.
Yeah.
When you think of college, what do you like for stadiums?
Michigan Stadium.
The big house.
I mean, there's nothing like. I've sat in the nosebleed seats. I've sat in the luxury suite. I've been on the sideline for games. So there's nothing like the energy of a Michigan football game, especially when they play Notre Dame. It's a little something extra. I don't know why, but I've gone to a ton of Michigan Notre Dame games over my lifetime, and the energy in that stadium. I mean, 105,000 people. I have not been to Buckeye Stadium, which is mm-hmm. supposed to be just as incredible of energy. You know, I haven't been to Alabama either, but I've been to Arizona State. I've been to Berkeley and Cal,
I've been to Camp Randall a couple of times.
Yeah,
and too. I have to say, I know they've tested the stadium, but I'm going to admit I still get nervous during the jump around. I mean, yeah. I love the energy. I think it's awesome. But I'd be lying if I didn't say you just look and go, you know, kind of like that video this week of that roller coaster that had a big crack in the beam as the coaster was going over. It's like, okay, I don't want to be the one that discovers a crack at Camp Randall, you know, right before the fourth quarter. I better, before we run out of time, get back to the Cubs Brewers. Those were, you know, they split the series. So from an outsider's perspective, it was a good series. And I think from from the standpoint of both teams, you're happy to walk away with a split because those were four pretty exciting games.
Actually, they were. They were, weren't they all one-run games?
I believe so, or close to it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was homers, and Yelich broke out yesterday in a big way. I thought the pitching was okay, but I enjoyed the baseball part, everything from small ball to the big ball in all four games. And it's been it was a great series to watch if you're a baseball fan.
You know, you talk about the pitching, and I don't know why I'm so cognizant of it now, but I just have this thing where I insist every starter needs to go at least six full, you know, and have a quality start. In part because I'm part of that last generation that, you know, there were very few relief pitchers, and the amount of complete games was insane. Yeah. And now it's like, well, it's been five and a third. That's it. You know, we got to get him out of there. And
it's all about pitch count. It's about pitch count.
Yeah.
And these, the doctors and the trainers, they use the analytics with it on his velocity. They use velocity and all these different measurements to say, you know, Joe, the manager, you know, he can only pitch 115 pitches.
Yeah.
And no matter what goes on, we got to get him out of there. So, I mean,
which is fine if you've got that middle reliever and if you've got that closer, but especially a team like the Brewers, where, I mean, they're bringing in people from the minors left and right because of injuries or failure.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.